a part-time chaplain for the hospice, is that right next, North Central Ohio. He's got a very interesting background. He grew up in Connecticut. I know the area where he grew up. In fact, he even knew the high school that my niece went to in Connecticut. And he grew up there, and his family had a mixed background of Protestant churches and Catholic churches. And he found the Lord through a campus crusade for Christ ministry on the University of Connecticut campus. I've been on that campus. I saw the whole Harlem Globetrotters play on that campus years ago at UConn, which is just up from Yale. And God has done a work in his life after he became a Christian. And that work has included working with counseling youth in relationship to prevention of use of drugs, and to help people that's been caught into this horrible trap of human trafficking. And he really truly believes in sharing the gospel with people. He likes to share about community needs and helping and reaching people. He says here, I'm grateful to God for all of his blessings with me in the good times and the tough times, that God is able to help us no matter what. We welcome Dave Matos, is that how you pronounce your name? Matos, to our church today, and may the Lord bless your ministry to us in the word, and may we be encouraged by it. Thank you so much for coming today.
Well, God bless you all. It's a privilege to be here. So I love your pastor, Keith, and so I was working with a hospice of Knox County, and then we merged, and I was the chaplain here when the hospice house was here. I was there full time. And then so your church has been a blessing to our hospice for many years. We've used your facility. I've done memorial services here. We've had families that did not have a church, and we've done funeral services. Every Thursday morning, I'm at your church by Zoom, and we have the pastor's prayer meeting. So Pastor Keith is a man of God, man of prayer, and we appreciate your church. So yesterday, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, we had our kids' grief camp for hospice. So that's when the kids come and they've lost their parents or grandparents or loved ones in their lives to a death, whether it's terminal illness or suicide or some other reason. So we normally have it at Camp Hope in Mohican, but with the storm, it knocked out the power at the site, so at the campgrounds. So we ended up moving the camp to behind our property, and we have three offices for hospice. We got one here, as you know. We have one in Mount Vernon, one in Ontario. So we have a lot of land behind our office in Mount Vernon. So we brought all 50 kids over there. And we're a little sore. We had slides and all type of activities. And then we used our offices there. So I was there till last night, till 9 o'clock, vacuuming and cleaning up. And but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. We did a lot of activities with these kids to help them deal with their losses, both boys and girls. And in my group, had 8 boys. 4 of the boys lost their fathers. So, and then so we were able to just help them share their feelings, because when you grieve, especially as a child, it can be very complicated for them. We did all types of activities to help them work through that. We prayed with them. We did arts and crafts. They all made little stuffed animals. It was a great experience. They were giving us hugs last night before we left. So it's been a privilege to serve in hospice of North Central for many years. I've had the privilege to meet a lot of wonderful people. I've covered this whole area of Ashland County, up to Huron, Mansfield, Knox County, Morrill County, and you get to meet a lot of wonderful people. And I want to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day. I am a father too. I have three sons, three in college, two graduated this year. I got one more in college. So my son is in, he just left for the Army to, and he's in Georgia. So he texted me this morning on my way here, wishing me a happy Father's Day. I have a beautiful wife named Dana. And the Lord's been good. During these past couple years, we've been visiting still patients in the communities. We have over, we're serving over near almost 200 families. So as a chaplain, I'm part of a team of workers with nurses, doctors, nurses aides, social workers. We got volunteer visitors, counselors. Then I'm the chaplain, and then so it's like a minister. And then we provide spiritual support to the families. And I've had the privilege of meeting many wonderful families. I do their funerals if they don't have a pastor, and then I support them in many ways. About 10 years ago, we started a program called the We Honor Veterans Program. The Veterans Administration approached us, and they asked if we could help them honor veterans. And then so the reason was because a lot of veterans were being thanked at memorial services and funerals, but they weren't being thanked while they're alive. So I want to show you a couple of things we provide them. When we honor a veteran, many of our sick patients, we'll give them a certificate, we'll get their name on it, and whatever branch they're in, we will provide that to them. And then we'll give them a pin and a medal, things like that. I've had the privilege of praying and giving out over 2,500 certificates, and gotten to pray with many veterans. Many times, a lot of veterans don't want to see me. They say, I don't want to see your preacher, or, you know, whatever. But after I honored them many times, and I'll pray with them to let me come back, and I've been able to help a lot of our veterans. We're now working with the Vietnam veterans, and they went through a lot of issues. As you all, many of you know, Vietnam veterans weren't thanked, and they were in a real controversial war, and they weren't celebrated. So now we're honoring them. We do both men and women, and it's been a wonderful experience to do that. Pastor Keith, he told me to dress casual, but this is what we wore yesterday for the kids camp, and all the volunteers and staff did that with the kids. So we're gonna have two more sessions this coming Friday and Saturday. We're hoping Camp Cope in Mohican gets the power back so we can do the camp there. And again, we do all types of activities on camp, and just trying to encourage these kids. We feed them, we give them all types of things to do and items and stuff. I also, I'm part-time with hospice. Hospice is like a church. It's like you need a certain amount of families to support the existing staff. And then a while back, we didn't have enough. We weren't serving enough families for them to fully have me on full time. So then I took a part-time job working in social services. And then I work with children and families. And then the kids I work with are kids that have been exposed to trafficking and drugs, drug abuse. Some of the kids I've worked with have been trafficked, and then I'll share a little bit more about that. And so I've had the privilege to share the love of Christ with many. And today we celebrate Father's Day. I had a wonderful father.
But, you know, in our society today, we have a lot of kids, children that are being raised without fathers. We have, you know, when I worked the prison ministry as a chaplain in the prison, you know, most of the men in prison grew up without fathers. And so we live in a time where that has impacted our culture and society. And I'll talk a little bit about that. But it's so important for young families to return to the church and to build their homes on Christ. And men need to understand their roles as fathers and the importance, you know, importance that they have in raising their children. And, you know, as I deal with a lot of fatherless people, we deal with children that have no fathers, and then we deal with a lot of people that have no spiritual fathers, no pastors, when men or women pastoring them. And then so it's important that we introduce them to a heavenly father. We live in a fatherless culture, and so I want to just open up with this, some scriptures, and you probably, I don't know if they're in your bulletin, but I like to just open up with the book of James. Well, just the first verse, just one verse, James 1:27. And the writer wrote in the book of James, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's James 1:27. And then I like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And the Apostle Paul wrote, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:5, the Apostle Paul wrote, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace and mercy, peace from God, the Father Christ, Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for this wonderful church, and I thank you for Pastor Keith and all the church members. They do a great job in this community. For many years, they've been a blessing, helping the community in so many ways, sharing the gospel, discipling people. We thank you for their, I see to bless their VBS. And I sense the love of God, a wonderful church family. We ask you continue to bless them and bring them more people that they can share the love of God with. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. So I wanted just to share about, you know, I had the opportunity to, I got saved at the University of Connecticut, and then I went on to Christian College and got to meet my wife. And then I've had the opportunity to serve the Lord and to raise my three sons in the faith. And thankfully, they're all serving the Lord. And I had to work hard to prepare them for the culture, because we certainly live in a different culture. And my kids grew up with the internet. And while the internet is great, with a lot of good church programs and ministry going on, there's a lot of, the enemy has also used it for many bad things. So, It's so important for us to really disciple our children and to
teach them how to live for Christ in this world. And in the scriptures, Timothy was raised. We thank the Lord for his mother and grandmother who raised him in the Lord. And it's so important that we teach our children and grandchildren to serve the Lord. And we must keep teaching our children and new believers in Christ the scriptures and preparing them for this world. And we have generations now that are being raised without the Lord. And in working with social services and mental health, working with children's hospitals, we have a higher rate of young people on drugs, more young people trying to commit suicide, lots of confusion, okay? And we have to, especially with the younger generation, have to pray for them and invite them to church and talk to young people about raising their children in the faith. You know, I run into a lot of young, I remember I went to visit a young couple and they were having issues with their son. He was 9 years old. And I said, a lot of it was spiritual issues. And I said, have you thought about bringing him to church? And then they said, no, he doesn't want to go to church. And I told him, you really can't give him a choice. You should take him to church, teach him the word. That would help a lot of the issues you're dealing with. Many of the families I work with in my social work job, they're single parents. The kids that are getting mixed up with drugs, alcohol, trafficking, they're being enticed in our communities. And then none of them are affiliated, connected with churches. And it's so important to pray and share the good news with this, especially the younger parents, younger generations. A while back, a school principal called me, and there was a little of one of my kids that I worked with. He's 9 years old, and the school principal called me, and he said, Ben, his name is Ben. Ben brought a gun to school. And then, so the principal, as you can imagine, there was chaos at the school. And he says, we don't know what to do. He's too young to put in jail. And we understand that you work with him. You have a good relationship with him. And can you come get him? And I arrived at the school, there's police everywhere. Thankfully, there was no shooting, and there's parents everywhere. But anyway, I went and picked up Ben, and Ben was, we were working with him because his mother, his original father left him, so he was with his mother. And then his mother got a new boyfriend. The new boyfriend didn't want Ben. And then so she wanted him to be put up for adoption. So he was in crisis and turmoil. And we were trying to support him and get him counseling. And then, so Ben came to stay with me for a couple of days. And, you know, I explained, you know, I kind of advocated for him. And then I got to share the gospel with Ben, and I gave him a Bible. And then he lived in a very wealthy home. And I was with him the day he packed, and he was, his aunt decided to adopt him. And when we went to his house to pack, all he packed was a couple clothes. He had a lot of stuff there, but he packed his Bible. And I talked to Ben about, even though he didn't have a father, a physical father, and his current father didn't love him, I talked to him about the Father's love, and I told him about Jesus and how much God loved him. And then Ben accepted Christ, and then he had a new start with his aunt. But we live in a culture where a lot of people are hurting, and they need to be told about the love of God. I get to meet a lot of patients and families, and so many are hungry for the love of God, and they don't really care how much we know. They want to know if we care for them, and we can share the love of, you know, we can share the love of Christ with them. And I've had the opportunity to share the love of God with many patients and families, and see how God has changed lives and brought peace, and he has restored lives. There was a family here in Ashland County. A wonderful grandmother had a lot of kids, and she had a lot of grandkids. And she was, one of her sons was on drugs, and then he was a tough kid, had tattoos everywhere, and she asked me if I could talk to him, and so I went and I talked to him and tried to build a relationship with him, and then I invited him to church, and he agreed to come. Then that young man gave his heart to Christ. I got to meet his wife. He got to get back together with his wife and his two kids. And then I did the grandmother's funeral. When we had over 300 people at the funeral, we got to share the love of Christ there. And it was wonderful. And there's so many people that need to hear about the love of Christ, and you know, never be ashamed, because you never know who's hurting and you know what they need. I did a funeral for this wonderful Christian grandfather, and his son came to the funeral, and then I talked about his father's Christian faith, and then afterwards, son talked to me, and then he wanted to hear more about Christ, and then so that man was named Bob, and then I got to take him out to lunch, probably disciple him for 2 years, just visiting with him, taking him to lunch, discipling him, and his wife, Bob, was really tough. I think he was in the Marines, and he cussed a lot, and he didn't treat his wife good, and his wife told me how much Bob had changed. Then Bob, you know, I got him books, Bibles, and he got finally connected to a church. His wife got connected, they got baptized, and then they started serving the Lord, you know, and then Bob eventually became a minister in the church, you know. And we shouldn't, you know, we should not be ashamed of the gospel, like Paul wrote in the book of Timothy, and share and introduce people to the love of God. Many people are hurting. In these past couple of years, you know, all know about COVID. I thank God for Pastor Keith's prayers. You know, we were going into seeing patients in nursing homes, and we're going in with masks. And initially, we were going in with entire suits, and many places we had all types of shields and masks, gloves. And I didn't really know how people were going to respond, but a lot of people were very open to the gospel. And patients and families, a lot of people were asking questions, you know, because we had to communicate more with the kids. So we were going into the nursing home when the families weren't being allowed to go into their nursing homes. So they were calling us, how's grandma, you know, how's mom doing, how's dad doing? There were lots of communication, you know, and I was able to share a lot the gospel during this time with so much going on. And these last couple of years, a lot of people are asking questions, you know, even secular people are like, is asking me, you know, is this talked about in the Bible? Is this talked about? And a lot of people are concerned and worried with the war in these past couple of years, you know. And so it's a time where we shouldn't be afraid to share. Just share with your coworkers. And there's a lot of people around us that are hurting that you can certainly offer your friendship, offer your prayers to them. And you'd be surprised how many people would open up to you. So, you know, we live in a, this is a great community to serve as. I've served Ashland County. There's a lot of wonderful folks here, a lot of nice churches, but there's still a lot of people in need. And just the Tri-County area, and especially the children and families. And so, you know, don't never be ashamed. Always be willing to share the truth, you know, and especially with the younger children, you know, don't be afraid to invite them to your church. You got a wonderful church, and you got to, sometimes I've been a part of churches, you know, where we got a great church and where we get comfortable, but we can never lose that heart for the loss. So, you know, we're in a time where a lot of people are being reached out with by other groups. So when I talk to some of the kids I work with that have been involved in the drugs, that have been involved with trafficking, you know, they'll tell me about how the traffickers will entice the kids either going on the internet or going into their neighborhood. The drug dealers will come into a town and they'll see who they can target, who they can get hooked on drugs, okay? And we as a church also have to be strategic, and we have to have a plan to see how we can share the love of Christ, how we can pray for these kids and families, how we can reach our community. I realize that we also live in a time where there's a lot of, we got generations of families that are now have been damaged by the world. You know, got families that are very dysfunctional now. You got family mental health issues, drug addiction issues, families cohabitating. So you may invite a family that's not going to be your traditional church family, but they still need the love of Christ. They still, you still need to love them, disciple them, be patient with them. Okay. You know, when people are grieving and they've had a loss, one of the things I'll, you know, as a chaplain, I'll visit a family and support them. Okay. And I'll follow up on maybe the husband who's lost his wife or the wife who's lost her husband. I'll minister to them, support them, and then I'll tell, you know, I can't, after we have our grief programs, our support groups, we stop calling the families. And so I'll connect them, you know, I'll tell them, hey, go to Pastor Key's church or go to Pastor John's church. And I'll tell them whichever, you know, offer different churches in the community. So, because I can't continue to follow them. So then what happens is they'll tell me different things that a lot of people aren't sensitive to their grief, you know. But one of the things you never tell, you know, anybody that's coming to your church grieving is you never tell them, you know, just to get over it, you know. And if somebody's been married 50 years, 60 years, you know, that's a big impact in their life. And you guys, we have to be, as a church, we have to be sensitive to that. Yeah, maybe, you know, the wife's gone to heaven or the husband's gone to heaven, but you know, it's still a big loss when you have that. You know, we have different support groups that come in where we men or women that have lost loved ones. So we have a men's support group. We have 15 guys that come to that. Most of them lost their wives, and that's a big loss for a man because, you know, women are very important in the lives of the families. They do so many things. So we have to be sensitive to that, you know. And one of the things I do hear is that some of the churches I'll send people to, or, you know, they don't feel that people are being sensitive to their needs. There's a, you know, if you, I've run into situations where I've tried to send families to churches, you know, and I had one pastor saying, tell me, well, Dave, I don't know if we can deal with that type of family, you know, and different things like that I've heard, you know. And so if you're lacking the love of God for families, and you really need to pray and ask God to give you a heart for souls, because we really need the love of God to deal with the loss, you know. In my ministry, been a chaplain now for 31 years, and importance of prayer and always seeking the love of God, the heart of God, is so important. We you know, nowadays we deal with a lot of spiritual warfare, a lot of needs, and it's so important that we are prayed up. And there's so much to say, but continue to have your vision for this church. You got a great church, got a great family guy, great pastor, and continue to invite your friends to this church. Reach out to those that are hurting around you. Continue to pray for the loss in your community. Like I said in the beginning, it is a time in our society where a lot of families, a lot of children being raised without fathers, a lot of families don't have a spiritual father, and that is so important for our communities. We know that the gospel, the good news of Christ, is the answer for many of the things that are going on in our society. I was doing a Bible study in one of the senior centers, and the lady that cooks food, she came to me. Her name was Shirley. She said, Dave, could you pray for my son? He's on drugs. He lost his business. He's got a wife and two kids. He's in jail. So I prayed with her. So anyway, I'm also a prison chaplain, and I was doing a service, and we had about 8 guys that came to the Lord, okay? And then one of the guys that came to the Lord was her son, but I didn't know. His name was Tony. So I went to the senior center. She says, Dave, Tony went to your service, and he accepted Christ. And I was like, wow, praise God. And she says, Dave, could you mentor Tony? Could you follow up on Tony? So they were going to transfer him from one of the jails from Mansfield to Marysville, where, you know, that's where they send the people on drugs that are getting rehabilitation. And, you know, it was far, and I didn't really want to, I didn't know if I could make that commitment, but I prayed about it. I said, yeah, I'll do it. So they moved him to Marysville, and I started visiting him in Mansfield, started discipling Tony and talking to him about the, and I was with him all the way until he got released from jail. We got him connected to a church. His family got restored. He got off drugs. He became a usher in the church. They gave him the keys to the church. And it's so wonderful when we could share the love of God. So at this time, we're just going to close with a word of prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful to be at this wonderful church. We thank you that for many years They've been preaching the gospel. They've been supporting many missionaries, and they've been reaching this community, Lord. They've been involved in